And here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio Online. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us and for all. I welcome all those that are joining in through BBS. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. We have a bunch of people on the phone line, and when you hear a ding, that's the next participant joining in, which just happened. A few people came on board. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Cecil C. Servant from Seattle.
Hello, Cecil. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for
Terry
being here.
Terry Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Welcome. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
All right. And how are you doing, Cecil? That doesn't sound too good. But not too bad either.
I love that name, Cecil Sea Serpent. I'm wondering where that originated for his name. That is just great.
Well, you guys are almost going to be neighbors.
Hi, just before BBS came on, did we hear Carla?
Yes.
That is correct.
Yeah. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Dorothy Lanessa.
Hello, Dorothy. Welcome to the call.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm so glad I got here on time and didn't miss it like last time.
All right. Where are you located, Dorothy?
I'm in Baltimore, Maryland.
In Baltimore. All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for letting me be there.
All right.
Welcome,
who else joined in? Same location.
Hi, this is
Jeannie
from Huntington Beach.
I hear Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, from Salt Lake.
Salt Lake City, right?
Yes.
All right, and I believe that I heard also Robin. Hi, Robin.
Hi.
Hi, good morning to you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Hi, Robin. It's Susan.
Hello, Susan.
DC area.
All right. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Hello, Heiss. It's Mesa Jim here.
Hello, Jim, on the top of the table.
Mesa Jim.
Mesa Jim now, yes. No longer Sedona Jim.
Oh, you moved.
Yes, a lovely lady decided to have me.
Oh, congratulations, Jim.
Thank you.
Mesa's
all
my
right.
my old stomping ground.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I grew up in Scottsdale from 1952 to 69, and then I married and moved to Mesa.
Everyone seems to fall in love in Mesa.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Please say your name and location.
Hi, Kathleen from California.
Hey, Kathleen. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Well, your name, please say your name and location.
This is Jay in Sedona.
Hi, Jay. Good to have you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Awesome. 10:02.
Good morning.
On this Sunday morning, California time. When are you present?
I'm here.
All right. I'm glad you're here, my friend.
Good morning, Wynn.
Good morning, Wynn.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wynn. Mesa Jim here.
And I welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location.
I'll watch you.
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights, California.
Hello, welcome to the call.
Oh, we've got two Jeannies.
Pardon me?
We have two Jeannies on.
Oh, okay, good.
All right, and welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry.
Hello, Terry Brown.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi, Terry.
So glad that you're here.
Hi, Terry.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Jim.
Mesa Jim.
Yeah, he went, the anodes sent him on top of the table.
Send him notes on top of the table?
The anodes. Send him on top of the table. So Table, not spelled backwards. Mesa, table.
Sedona is...
I didn't know what you were saying.
Morning, Terry. Morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
Good morning, Raiden.
Hey, buenos dias.
Buenos dias, senor.
A Raiden of sunshine.
All right, the dings are off. And the dongs are on.
Ding dong.
Yeah. But the ding bats are all still here.
You guys are certainly silly today.
It's a silly day. Am I being heard? I guess not.
It's a silly day in the neighborhood, a silly day for the neighbors. Could you be mine?
Okay. In Baltimore, Maryland, it's bright and sunny, and the sky is blue like you can see forever.
Good morning.
Morning, Donna.
How is everybody this morning?
Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Billy.
Here we go. We're going to mute everybody.
And Vin, wait 1 second before you start the recording.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, I'm waiting.
All right, I just want to see you speak up because you don't sound so loud. It's you're fairly clear, but not so loud.
You know what? Hang on a second. Guys, why do you always do this to me? Okay.
Because I my target is perfection.
Uh-huh. Why'd you come to planet Earth?
I don't get that either. Don't you think I'm scared of it?
Hang on. I'm going to change headsets. Okay.
All right. I can't wait to stay longer and live this life, but I also can't wait to be gone. To be on the other side. Good morning, Colleen. No, that's not Colleen. Somebody else from Canada.
Okay, how's this?
It is doable. It's just a fraction better.
Should I call in on Skype? I can do that, you know. Let me do that, okay?
Yeah, except the Skype issue. Terry, please, you speak up.
Wind sounded good to me.
All right, now you sound way louder. Good morning, Don.
Morning.
Yeah, Terry there, Brown. I'm unmuted.
Yeah, you sound super clear and loud.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
Now, Don, don't you recognize the difference between Wind and Terry in volume?
Yeah, Terry almost always sounds better.
Yes.
But I thought Wind sounded pretty good to me today.
It was a slightly weak, but the answer to why'd you come to planet Earth is because it's like going to a gym. You get a good workout.
Really?
Yeah.
Very good workout.
I guess I need to drink more water.
I was taking that this morning.
All right.
All right, how's this?
Yes, now you're on the same level. Yes.
Okay. Now, the thing about Skype, you know, is that occasionally it makes me sound like I'm digitized.
Yes.
It breaks up my words. So let's just put it in the light that does not happen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, now I'm not ready. Are you ready, Terry? No. Right.
And I'm taking off, Vin, okay? You got the controls, all right?
You're taking off.
Yes. I need
to
get to work.
Okay.
And 11 o'clock, keep in mind.
All right.
I love you all very much. Have a great day.
This conference is being recorded.
This is November 15th, 2015, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and all of you everywhere. Jim is in Mesa. At the moment, he's got a... I shouldn't talk about his personal life publicly. Never mind. He's just in Mesa. And this is our Sunday grid healing. And for some reason, I came across a video last night. And it was about how Eric Clapton wrote his song, Tears from Heaven. And the video brought a tear to my eye. And I put it on the mailing today because it told a story with pictures of Eric had a relationship with this Italian model, and they had a son named Connor, and he was particularly angelic, really looked like a starseed. He was a starseed, obviously, and very expressive, and, you know, if you looked at him, he was one of those kids that would just bring joy to you just watching him. And at some point when they didn't say the age, but he looked like maybe 5 or 6 years old, Connor walked out a window. Okay, here we go. I knew if I called the call Tears from Heaven, I was going to be tearing. Connor walked out a window and fell 50 stories and died. And Eric Clapton wrote the song Tears from Heaven about his grief. And, you know, it just so happens I have that song loaded. I think. Let me see here. You know, this realm is built for joy, and it's built for sadness. And somehow we have to integrate that into our lives to cope, because we are all going to die. We are all going to lose the people we care about, and we're going to die, and they're going to lose us. Now, we can't focus on that, but it's a fact. It is a fact. And, you know, moments of joy and moments of coming together. Okay. Where we really touch each other, like on this call, like in your friends, in the people you love and care about. They're moments to truly cherish. And the Ra Group, if you have read the Carla material, they call themselves, sometimes, the brothers and sisters of sorrow. And I remember when I read that, I wondered why they called themselves that. Because we know there's joy. We know there's joy. We know there's happiness. We know there's those moments, and some of us have more than others, of feeling totally expanded and connected and happy and joyful. And many of us are going through really hard times. And I watch the people in our group, and part of this job that we're doing is we don't turn anybody away. we open up to whoever shows up. And when I say we, I mean Terry and myself and all of you who help hold the energy for this call. And there's some of you that help hold the energy, and some of you that take the energy that's being held because you really need it. And that's okay. And, you know, I remember when the Elohim did that major healing on my sister. I'm sure everyone knows the story. I said, wow. Terry, you're breathing into the mic. I said, wow. You know, this is only 6 months into it. I'm talking to this intelligence that can do something like that. And I said, this is what the world has been waiting for. And, of course, I had no idea how to do anything, how to do it. And I also had the thought, well, maybe this is something negative, and what a good way to get my attention, to get my loyalty. So I had to consider all of that. And when Daphne finally left, that was 6 months into it, I actually had a little sigh of relief because it just seemed like too much to take on, too much responsibility. It still feels that way. It feels like I'm just a human, and so many people come that need help, that need support, that need money, that need healing. And sometimes somebody gets it, and sometimes they don't. And, you know, what I see is these patterns that keep us bound into the pain and the suffering are not easy to let go of. You know, in the case of my sister, you know, there were two things that were fairly profound learning experiences from that. One of the things was, and I told this story before, and if you heard it, bear with me, because I think this is extremely important to integrate it. And it's not easy to integrate it, but that my sister was in the hospital, and she had this critical cancer operation. She wasn't supposed to survive. And so I asked the question, and I said, can you help my sister? And they said they could. And so the next day, I get a call from my brother-in-law that she was alive. And the operation was a success. Now, at that moment, I did not know that they did it. I mean, I was open to the possibility, but it could have been coincidence because I had no idea the potentials of the situation. And so, Terry, I still hear you breathing. You know that? Which is a good sign.
I'll put it on mute.
Yeah. If I put you on mute, then I'm afraid I'll ask you a question and I'll forget to unmute you. So, my sister was released from the hospital and she went to a home, a rehabilitation home, and I had not kept really good connection with my sister for quite a few years. And I decided I was going to connect with her. And I called her every day and told her jokes. And I told her she had to tell the jokes to the nurses. And I didn't know what was going to happen. But she did it. And she got really happy. The nurses were coming around, and they were always asking her, what's the joke for today? And she got more really good, loving attention that I think than she ever had in her life. And 3 weeks later, Larry, her husband, called me up and said, and something really strange happened. Joanne had to go in for tests, and the nurse said that her cancer was gone, but there was something wrong with the test because her lupus disappeared. And they kept testing her, because lupus never goes away. They kept testing her, and sure enough, there was no lupus. So Larry asks me, what do you think happened? And I said, Larry, I'll get back with you. And so shortly thereafter, I did a session. And I asked them, I said, how did you guys do that? And they said, we projected a filter into her blood and took the lupus out. And I said, is that all? Wow. And then they said, at a different session, they said that if I hadn't done the cheer up committee, they couldn't have taken the lupus out. And that was very profound, because I'm still learning about who these guys are. I mean, they're asking all my questions, answering all my questions, and it's very profound. And now they took my sister's lupus out of her body, filtered it out, and they said if I didn't do the cheer-up committee, they couldn't have done it. So I started to get the intuition about how it works. And some of you are figuring this out. But they're just not an agency that you can magically say, do this, do that, and it happens. It works that the energy has to be opened in this realm so they can access it. So we are part of that. Our meetings, our team shifts, all the things we do to help each other are part of keeping our energies open so that we can have a bridge from where we are to where they are. And when we do that, things happen. And, you know, after my sister left the rehabilitation home, she went home to her, you know, where she lived. And she got into her patterns, her old patterns. And her lupus was gone, but she still had all kinds of things wrong with her. And I asked them, I said, what would it take for my sister to have a complete healing? And they said she'd have to move out of the patterns that she was doing. And, you know, I tried to get her to come on to our calls. And I think she would. I tried to get her to do that and her husband to do that. And they did come on occasionally just to maybe to prove that it really happened, so I couldn't have been making it up. But she didn't feel worthy. She felt self-conscious. She felt worthless, part of her. And she didn't want people to see that. And so she wouldn't come on the calls. And she went back to a certain level of being depressed. And she stayed alive for another 10 or 11 years, and then she died. And, you know, there are a lot of lessons in that experience. You know, we are doing everything we can to create opportunities and programs for people to reach beyond themselves, to feel the connection. You know, we have our Team Shift program, which we talked about last Monday. And I know for every person that participates in that, there's probably 100 that say, I don't want to do that. People will see me. People will see that I'm withdrawn. People will see, you know, everything that's wrong with me. And I have to stay in my own space. And so they stay in their own space and they don't take advantage of this. And we don't even charge for it. It doesn't matter. Because what I see is, at a certain level, you have to reach back. And so often, we don't take the opportunities to reach back. We stay in our own zone. And we have maybe shame. We're ashamed of being sick. I know that one. You know, when there's something wrong with you, you think, my God, I did something wrong. There's something wrong with me. I don't want to be a bother to anyone else. Well, you know what? We've put this together so you're not a bother. You're part of it. And there's people whose next growth is to give something to someone else. Do you know, giving and receiving are opposite sides of the same coin. And sometimes people want to give, but they don't want to receive. Now, it's understandable. Do you know why people would rather give than receive? In my opinion, is because when you give, no one controls you. You're in the driver's seat when you're giving. When you're receiving, you have to be careful about who you receive from, or else there's a negative string attached to it. So people are afraid to receive because they have experience where they have been in a receiving mode and somebody controlled them. And it happens quite often. So they're very apprehensive about receiving. And I try really hard to set this up so the opportunities to receive don't have strings attached. And it doesn't mean because you're receiving that everything gets fixed. But it might mean that, but it doesn't mean that. But it's a first start, because the truth of the matter is, by learning how to receive unconditionally, you also learn how to give unconditionally. And although giving is easier, it's still not so easy to give unconditionally without having an expectation of some kind of return. And if you're going to move your consciousness into the high levels, if you're going to move it into the law of one, unconditional love, then you have to learn how to do both. You have to learn how to receive, and you have to learn how to give from a place of unconditionalness. And that, I mean, Jesus said so many things correct. I mean, what did he say? He said, when two or more are gathered, he said, love your brother, love your neighbor as yourself. I am in the smallest of these. It means that we do these things not to please Jesus, not to please God, although it probably does. We do them because it's the way you climb up the ladder of your own consciousness and get unstuck. Because in the lower worlds, it's a world of mirrors. And we reflect things, and we get locked into what we reflect. You ever realize that? I'm sure you have. That people get stuck at the level they reflect each other. It's a world of mirrors. And it's hard. It's one of the reasons it's so hard to move out of that, because you're in it. You're mirrored. The people around you mirror you back. Your wife, your relationships, your family. And you're trapped in that world of mirrors. We're all trapped in the world of mirrors. And it takes work and attention to get out of it. And the first thing is observing yourself. And the second thing, you know, Jay Wilder, he's on the line, so I'm quoting him. He was telling me, you know, I always tell people, I often tell people that go out and do good works. Go visit a convalescent home and talk to people. Find ways to contribute to people unconditionally in small ways, not big ways, because we can't afford big ways. We have to take care of our life. We don't have the time. We don't have the money to give it all away. But find ways that you can control where you can really give to some situation or do something that changes things without expecting anything in return. And you know, Jay and I were having a conversation, and he has been studying Eastern Hindu, I guess. He's gone to India. He's studied with gurus. And, of course, in Indian terminology, they have the word karma. And one way of looking at karma is that it's an area where we've locked ourselves in at a lower level of being trapped. And, of course, we all have our past. We carry our giant computer, our soul, with us that carries the memories of everything we've ever done, everything that's been done to us. And we have that as our either baggage or helper, but it's part of life in 3D to have a soul that carries everything. So you don't know what it carries. You don't remember, but you can grasp it by noticing your patterns, noticing things that keep repeating, and say, okay, I don't know why that keeps repeating, but there must be a pattern that's locked in my soul from the past that's creating that. And if you observe it carefully enough, you will learn the pattern. And once you learn the pattern, you have a chance of getting over it. Observation is one way to move through those patterns. And good works, doing little acts of unconditionalness, is a way to start building energy to move through the patterns, which you could call your karma. And Jay was saying that one of the teachers he had, one of his gurus, said that when you do these things that are karma releasing, when you do these acts of unconditional love, Jewish people might call it a mitzvah, right? When you do them, ask while you're doing them to say, I give this up and help. I want to release. I hope I'm saying this right. I want to release. I release my old patterns. I release my karma. And you can start meeting at higher levels where he said it's important to ask because it increases the impact of it. Okay? So, for example, we could all say that we are coming to this Sunday call. And part of the reason we're coming is because we like it. It feels good. We feel the energy. We feel the camaraderie. Another part is that we do these planetary healings. And being here is a service to the planet. And we are all coming together. We have nothing to gain from being here in the physical world. And we sacrifice our time. And many of you come to all our calls. So the aspect of the coming to these calls, which is the part of you that's saying, I'm coming because I am blessing the planet. That's a service. That's unconditional giving, you know. Coming because so-and-so is going to be on the line, and I know I relate to them, and I'm going to say hello to them because it cheers them up because they're going through a hard time. That's another mitzvah. So just say, while you're doing those things, that I ask to have anything be released and taken to the higher realms, and that you're working things out so that this energy will prevail or enter the rest of your life, and you can do it. And then after a while, you start to understand the nature of how this realm evolves. And it is sluggish. It is hard. It's not easy because there's so much inertia and so much stuff is trapped in those mirrors. And so many people are trapped in the mirrors. And I am amazed sometimes when, I talk to someone and they seem really sharp. They really seem really smart. And as soon as you engage, you feel the mirror. You feel like I can't be all that I am. You know, usually, if you're going to have a high relationship with somebody, it usually starts in the silence. It usually starts when nothing is happening. Like sometimes someone will come to our calls and I couldn't have a conversation with them when they're first on the call, but I feel them. And months later, we're meeting in the silence, and we have a conversation, and it's a really good conversation because we've already met. We're not trying to meet. We've met at a higher level vibrationally. So by the time you have a 3D interchange, you can bypass all of those normal 3D, how can I say it, ways of getting stuck. And but somebody has to be on the call long enough. Otherwise, I'm intimidating. They say, that's the other side of it. They say, oh my God, there's Wim. And oh my God, what do I say? So we haven't reached the place of silence, of coming from the quietness. And there's a timing when that's correct, when that energy is present and when it isn't. And if you can look at that timing in your own life, you'll start to create better relationships. And, you know, this realm, 3D, can be really tough. It can have joy in it, and it can have sorrow in it. And it's not easy not to go back and forth between the two until you resolve the yin and yang. And, you know, I remember reading that when you become masterful in this realm, I forget who said this, but the ups and downs all become part of the same flow. In other words, you just shrug your shoulders and say, oh, okay, today I'm feeling really up and happy. And shrug your shoulders and say, today I'm looking like a criminal. And you keep observing it, and it starts to balance out. And as you go up the ladder of consciousness, you'll end up yourself understanding why the Ra group calls itself the Brothers and Sisters of Sorrow. And I heard a ding in there. Was that Hive? No. Okay. So it was like Robin Williams, when he was talking to us, said, maybe you guys haven't heard the story, but when Robin Williams died, we put him in the light on our Sunday call, and he ended up making a comment, and we've never had a full-blown conversation with him. But for a couple of weeks, Terry and I were having conversations on the side, and he was very funny. I wasn't, now, you know, in my own skeptical way, every time something like this happens, I'm thinking, this is the negative coming in, trying to trick me, and this isn't really Robin Williams. But the way it worked was we had put him in the light, and then Terry did her little Elohim communication on the call, and at the end, there was a voice that sounded like it was the Elohim, but it wasn't. It said, what did they say? Now, Terry remembers, and he said, it's a long way to the land of Nod. I mean, Nag. Don't bother going.
No, we asked him, you know, what happened?
No, this was like before we even identified it as Robin, there was a comment at the end of your channeling, and the comment. Remember the? It's a long way to the land of Nod.
I took what was a long journey into the land of Nod.
Okay, well that's cool.
No fun, don't try it.
Yeah, but, you know, he didn't say it. It didn't, the voice did not say it was Robin, but it didn't sound like the Elohim. It was just tagged on, you know? And, I mean, you try to imagine how the other realms work. I can't imagine to have something like this happen. But we put him in the light. Maybe he's listening to us now. Who knows? But, and so, when the call was over, I said to Terry, that sounded like it could have been Robin. He said, what do you think? And I said, let's do a session and see what happens. So we did a session. And sure enough, a voice came through, said it was Robin. Now remember, I'm being skeptical. I'm saying, maybe it's not Robin, maybe something's trying to trick me. So the conversation went something like this. I said, so, Robin, what's your phone number? And he said, I don't remember. And I said, who's your manager's name? What's your manager's name? And he said, I can't remember. And then finally, Terry, why don't you share what he said?
He said,
if you remember?
Yeah. He chose his words very carefully.
Speak louder, speak louder.
He chose his words very carefully. He said, when somebody gets Alzheimer's disease, and they can't remember stuff, and their brain is broken. He particularly chose the word broken because it was really funny. And then he said, when someone, he says, when I'm dead, I don't even have a brain.
Well, that made me think it was Robin when I heard that joke. And then he said other jokes. Well, they don't come out like jokes. He's just talking, you know.
I know. He's just talking, and they're very
good. He's just talking off the top of his head, and it comes out, and it's really funny. Like he said, I'm not sure I want to. Well, Terry, why don't you tell it about going to heaven?
Oh, yeah. He says, you know, I don't know about going to heaven. The censors there are probably worse than they were on Mark and Mindy. I thought that was very funny.
That was funny. And then he said something about...
Well, there was one time when we called in the light and we said anything, not positive or anything negative, must leave now. And he says, does this mean I have to leave?
And then he was not sure he wanted to go to heaven because of why was he not sure he wanted to go to heaven besides for the censors?
Because it would be boring, like to sit around and listen to harp music all the time. That was another reason.
So we have those on tape somewhere. It was pretty funny. And who knows? He's probably still hanging around the earth. He was saying he was... See, I'm getting a feeling like what it's like when you're dead. It's like he was in the astral. And the same thing with Carla. They're in the astral. And he was still moving around the earth, being with his daughter, his wife. And Carla was moving around. And that when people die, they don't really, they're really still here. So if we don't see them, they see us, we don't see them. And
they can hear us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's very, very sad to them that we don't hear them.
Yeah. Terry says she remembers her life as a ghost.
Yeah, I was a ghost before this life. I died and I was a ghost and I'd walk up and down the road and I'd talk to the mailman. Every day the mailman would come by and I could see him and he had his leather pouch with the mail in it. And I'd go up and I'd be all cheerful and I'd say hi and he'd just ignore me. And after a while, it got so that I didn't even dare say anything, because they just thought it was useless. They couldn't hear me anyway. One day, somebody moved into my house, and they were going through the screen door, and I went up and I held the screen door shut, and I was able to hold it shut, like as a ghost, and I was able to hold it shut to some degree, and the man was saying, what is wrong with this screen door? I don't see anything wrong with it. What's wrong with it? I gotta get this fixed. And finally, he just overpowered me, and I went and sat down and watched them move into the house. And it was really different to, you know, talk to people and not have an answer. And it even carries over a little bit into this life, you know. It's like, why say anything? Nobody's going to hear it anyway.
Yeah, well, are you surprised we're hearing you?
Yeah.
You know, I knew Terry for years, and I thought she was really weird. Because somewhere in her, she's thinking, no one's going to understand. I can't tell anybody what's going on, right? And of course, if somebody in this realm happens to have that rare ability to talk to discarnate beings that are in their space, talk to ghosts, then they'll probably get put away in the loony bin because they hear voices, right? So in any case.
Well, it was interesting when my brother died, and when and I went to his funeral, and I felt real bad because, you know, they didn't acknowledge his presence, and everybody talked and everything. And so afterwards, I stayed longer and I talked to him, and I could see him as a ghost leaving his body and standing in front of me and communicating with me. And I could talk to him better at that point than I could when he was alive, because when he was alive, ever since he was a little kid, my folks put him on Ritalin and then the next thing and the next thing. And he commented on that. He said, he apologized. He said when he was alive, he couldn't feel anything because of all the drugs they kept him on all the time. He couldn't feel emotions. And he apologized. But it was like I was able to speak to him better after he died than practically any time when he was alive.
Interesting. You know, one of the things is that if we find ourselves with somebody that's going through intense situations in their life, and you say, this is too much for me, I want to walk away, I don't want to deal with this, then maybe that's a circumstance that was given to you to help you release karma, for you to do blessings for that other person. And instead, you're thinking, how can I have a good time? I want to have a good time. And you miss this great opportunity to advance your karma, to let things go, and to be able to do things selflessly and unconditionally for the other person. If you have any attachment for some kind of reward from them, you blow it, okay? Very likely you'll blow it, because you lose the aspect of service, of what's the word? You know, you lose the aspect of the opportunity to express love unconditionally. Because as you learn to do that more and more, you open the door for you to receive love unconditionally. And it's the giving and the receiving of unconditional love. Love that has no attachment. Acts that don't have any strings attached to them for something in the future. That you create the portal to grace. And on that note, it's exactly 11 o'clock Pacific time, and I'm going to not keep talking and go into our planetary meditations. I do want to say one thing. When you see something that happened, like in Paris, and you're reading the newspapers, please do a search that says Paris conspiracy or something like that, and see what comes up and see if it makes sense. Okay? It's very interesting. One thing that I found out when I did that is that somebody had done a post about Wikipedia, who we normally think is a really neutral way of getting information. But apparently, Wikipedia, 2 hours after the event, had a total report on everything that happened. And certain things were, just look it up yourself. And, of course, after that happened, martial law was declared in France. And it's something to pay attention to, because many, many, many of the things that we read about, when you do a search, and you could dismiss it, you could say this is just a conspiracy wacko, or maybe it's not. You have to look at it neutrally to see if it makes sense. And some of the things will sound like wackos, and others have really good points to make, and see if you can figure out what's true, what really makes sense on these things. Because we live in a programmed reality, and you cannot believe what's in the media. You can't. It's designed to program you, to program us to certain ways of thinking. And that's all on that. Let's go right now and start off by feeling the energy flows in your body. Your body is filled with what the Chinese call meridians. Little energy flows that go every which way. That's why acupuncture works, because there's points where you can stick a needle and enhance those energy flows. And I've had experience of acupuncture, and it's an amazing way to shift your energy and sometimes get a healing. So feel all those energy flows. Feel your meridians. Feel the energy that's contained in your body. And your body is not isolated from the rest of the universe. Your physical body is, but your energy body isn't. So we feel those energy flows, and we can expand the energy just by thinking it. So your energy is now outside of your body. feel your energy, not just in your body, but see if you can feel a field around your body. Okay, you feel the field. Now imagine that field is expanding. See the field in your room. See it bouncing off the walls. The energy of your body radiating into the room. Now let's expand it so it's in the whole house. And then we go to the top of our head. Imagine that field moving up to our celestial sources. And down through our feet into the earth. And look in your body right now. Those energy flows are still happening, but see if you can find an area where it's blocked. And let this energy surround the block. Maybe there's an area of pain. Maybe there's an area of disease. Surround that area and let the pain, the disease flow into this energy. And of course, let's imagine that there is really an Elohim. And the energy we feel coming in to our body is connected to the universe. It's connected to the Elohim. It's connected to the one infinite creator. It's right there with you. And let's ask them to help fix our body. Maybe some of you are feeling that floaty feeling, that feeling of being expanded. The feeling that we're all touching each other, which we are. And we can do this because you're here. Part of being here is for yourself, and for your healing, and for your understanding. Part of it is to help us create a group energy that allows us to heal each other and put healing energy into our planet. You know, Terry goes to a website, and you might check it out. It's called Dutch Sense, D-U-T-C-H-S-I-N-S-E, Dutch Sense. And this guy seems to be very good at predicting earthquakes. And he relates them to all kinds of harp waves, different phenomena. Some of them seem, the implication is some of them are provoked. And interestingly enough, he starts to predict a major earthquake somewhere. And then, I don't know if this is going to continue happening, but where he predicted the major earthquake, there ends up being a little swarm of small earthquakes, which, of course, every Sunday, we put that into the light. You might check him out. Keep an eye on him. Dutch Sense. And so all of you who have put something in the light, to put something in this field, we're going to go through that list. And I want to ask you to expect a miracle. May not happen, but expect it. Realize that there is intelligent energy in other dimensions that can work with you, that can help you transmute things, and it's a joint effort. It's you and them. We have Roger in Texas. My brother Lee, born in 1934 and 4 years older than me, passed in 2009. He had been mentally and emotionally abusive to me in my younger years until he left home for college in 1951. Through the following years, there was this unresolved conflict between us up to the end. I lived a whole lifetime not understanding why I felt so emotionally handicapped. So he passed over before we could acknowledge to each other the cause of the stress. I want to know if our sources can help Lee and I to heal, even though he's on the other side. Thank you. Okay, next is Bonnie in Corona. Wait a second. Excuse me. Next is Joe in San Fernando, California. And all he says is angry and negative. Fill him with love, light, and peace. And, you know, I want to point out whoever put that is probably putting Joe's name in there. And it should be your name in there, sending love and light to Joe, because you are the vibrational connection to Joe, and it works from them through you to Joe. Now we go to Bonnie. Love light to family and friends on the other side. Love light to my son, Aylin and Evan. Love light to David, Jackie, Brian, and Travis. Love light and success to my best friends, Scott and Phoenix. Love light to Wynn and Terry and every one of us on the call. Love light to Mother Earth and all her inhabitants. Healing for my rheumatoid arthritis. Thank you. seems to me I've heard all these things that are good for arthritis. One of them might be ozone. Look it up, Bonnie. I don't know if you got a machine, but look up ozone therapy arthritis and see what comes up. You know, the person who sent the thing to Joe about how much time do you spend every day praying for Joe? That's the way that your energy goes to Joe. You bring in the sources, have them work through you. You'd be amazed at how effective this can be, taking your time contemplating a person that you care about and sending them unconditional love, and see what happens. Peter in Woodland Hills. Love, healing, light for my current love relationship, as we are having too many misunderstandings and miscommunication issues. That's one of those tough ones, Peter. Keep sending the light to it. But it's where you get involved in that reflection of mirrors on some level, and it's really hard to get out of it. Kay in Albuquerque. Please reveal divine guidance on how, what action to take to resolve all personal issues. Answers need to start coming today. Thank you. We are grateful. Wait a second. That was not... Was that Kay? Am I screwing up here? Hang on a second. That was Kay, yes. Okay. Somebody left their name blank. And it's blank. Okay. Another K in Albuquerque. Please reveal to me divine guidance on what, how to restore my perfect health, myself, and all of my cats. Answers need to start coming today. Thank you. We are grateful. You know, when you have health problems, aside from praying and asking for help, never have we had so much access to information. And there's so many alternative things that can help you. And you can do vigorous internet searches. And it doesn't matter what's wrong with you, you'll find something that's supposed to work. Now then you have to figure out, is it a scam or is it real? This is where you have to use your instincts. But do the searches at least so you can have options of possibilities. Rusia in Toronto, Canada. Thank you for raising the consciousness of the world. Send out healing energies to my right hand's frozen finger joint muscle and my injured left knee. Let's now just ask, focusing all our focus to her right hand and her injured left knee. Let's just see her hand surrounded with energy. Please continue to send out positive energies to my deceased father and mother. Please continue to send out positive energies so that we may all connect to the Elohim, Ra'an, and Ra group effortlessly. And also connect to them after this call is over. Thank you. Rizia. Rizia, I also suggest consider the idea that you are connected, and you're so close to the connection that it fades into the panorama. And just go into the quiet. Shut your eyes right now. Go into the quiet space. Feel energy. Feel the energy in the top of your head. And imagine that might be the Elohim radiating down into you. Marilyn in Pittsburgh, putting Dr. Friedman, our group healing meditation in light, and ask that our intentions manifest. I want to put my neighbors above me in the light and ask that they be aware of the noises they are making that are causing discomfort to others. May they become considerate and respectful for the highest good now. I added the for the highest good. Okay. Clarence in Windsor, Ontario. I would like to put the planet and all life on it, mainly the plants, minerals, people, and animals, into the light. I would like to put all day negativity into the light. I would specifically like to put the light, the Illuminati, and the ruling forces. If you don't mind, let me reword this, because I don't think we really want to send light to the Illuminati and the ruling forces, because there's an aspect of them that is light. Light is positive and negative. Light is not polarized. And I think we want to send light to the compassionate aspects of the Illuminati and those who make decisions, that they might make compassionate decisions. And if you send it to the light, to the Illuminati, it's like empowering them even more. And most of all, I would like to put all darkness into light. There is no need for darkness when you can see you. How can we word that? I just like, you don't have to put darkness in the light. When light enters darkness, it's no longer dark, right? So the dark and light make manifestation, makes things in the world. For those of you that have read the raw material, in the raw material, it was indicated that the goal of the higher realms, the one infinite creator, etc., was to create circumstances where beings could be in this realm and come back to Godhead. And that on planetary systems that were all loving, the movement back to Godhead was extremely, extremely slow, quadrillions of years or whatever. And so it was decided, and to create conflict, which was the entrance of some dark into this process that would thrust people, give people a thrust, not to lavish and having a good time all the time, but to reach higher. So there was an interplay between dark and light, which was like an incubation factory to move us up the ladder of consciousness. And so the dark did get a little bit out of hand, to say the least. But nonetheless, it's like there's a purpose, there's a positive aspect at least as I have understood it, to the dark. It's kind of like if somebody is born into a very wealthy family, they may have a very comfortable, fun life, but they may never reach towards higher truth because they're too busy having fun. I'll have to wait to another life. So it's kind of like that, that conflict helps us thrust out of this realm and into higher planes.
Can I add something here?
Yeah.
Yeah. When somebody is asking a prayer, say for the negative person to be filled with love and light, it is a hard, you get a problem because the angry person, it's a definite energy. It's like a thing. It's a vibration. And as such, it is real. And if you try to blanket it with love light, then you got a problem because you've got one love light energy coming up against the negative angry energy, and they create a barrier of where they meet, and it hangs in space and time there. So you might be you say we're looking at this angry person and say, "Dear, I wish you were positive and filled with love light." This angry energy needs to be dealt with before you he himself can generate his own love and light. And he's pretty close. The angry is pretty high tone. They're starting to demand some kind of control, but you don't think you have good control, and so you're angry and frustrated. But if he can move through that and move up in emotional tone, he's pretty close to being filled with love and light. But he needs to figure out that energy to move beyond that energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah. In fact, you know, I heard somebody say one time that depression is really comes out first as repressed anger. So it's probably better to be angry than depressed. As long as
you're
not. Unfortunately, you usually take your anger out on other people, which is not great. But anger can be a huge motivational energy, and I've done that. I've used it. I know that sometimes I can tap into my anger and get a lot done by tapping into the energy of the anger and then accomplishing stuff, and it releases anger. But it's probably better than being depressed, as long as you're not hurting other people with it. If you're yelling at people, that's not good. Okay,
right.
Thank you.
Count to 10.
Yeah. Let's call in the light. And let our sources get a word in edgewise. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies into the center of the Earth. And right now we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And we open the floor for our sources.
We greet you with the love light of the one infinite creator. All is one. And it is expressed in different energies. There is the energy that the individual experiences and creates. There is the energy that the planet experiences and creates. There is the effect of the sun upon the planetary process. It is all connected. There are meridians between the different stars and the earth that one, when they are born, they tap into and are influenced by, and their first look at life in a body connects all of the life within the body up with the meridians and makes an impression. You are greater than the meridians. You are greater than the effect upon your body. Your body contains life. Your body contains cells. Your body contains systems that are working together. When you talk to your body and you recognize that your body is like a well-oiled working relationship with you, you can move through the individual things easier if you talk to your body, you talk to yourselves, you treat them as a life consciousness form. You will be able to get a synergistic relationship and a healing relationship more easily than you just if you get frustrated with your body and make demands that it is this and it is that. When you talk to your body and recognize there are many consciousnesses working together, you are a complex being of the body and the soul and your higher self and your lower self working together. So be patient with your body. And as Wynn has suggested, do some research to find where people before you have found solutions to your body problems, as there are solutions out there. Give us a moment. Your body and you are working together. We take a moment and we send love light for healing into the sphere of each person who is asking whether they put it on the list or not, that it may seep in and it may be a helpful burst of energy toward your conscious self, toward the parts of your body that need healing. We say to pay attention that your body gets the needs that it has built enough liquid to be able to run enough of the nutrients to be able to run, although we can't bypass that, and with energy supplied of the same frequency as the minerals and the substances the body needs to give the frequencies to the body, it can help bring relief, keep the body alkaline, and alkalinity provides more electrons for the body to use or to heal. You can, through correct nutrition and maintaining alkalinity of the body, you can help heal your healing process. We send love light to the areas of each individually of you, as we are nonlinear. We can do it all at one time, and we come directly to you through the earth plane. We do not come through the telephone line to the BBS radio. We are coming directly to you. You hear the voice through your media. However, we come directly. Some of you may feel our frequency is so high that oftentimes the individuals who are praying do not know they have been heard, do not know we and other universal doctors and the old ideas has heard. It is because it is of frequencies of the higher range that generally Earth plane does not tap into. However, we do hear, we feel you reaching to us, and we connect, although you may not realize that we are connecting. We love you, and we send love light to the individuals who have crossed over that you have put in the light. We send love light to your family, to your friends that you have put in the love light. And we do not have any force in connection with the granting of love light. It is totally up to the individual whether they pick it up or whether it merely is in their field as a potential opportunity to raise their tone. However, we do not, being a free will agency, we do not interfere with their children's emotions. Thank you.
Thank you. Could we take one?
You disappeared into the band of Skype. We do take 1 minute here, and we send good healing to the Pacific Ring of Fire connected with Earth, connected with magnetic field of Earth, connected with Sun, interaction with the whole ring of fire, and we look for, we are speaking slowly because we are
okay.
In the ring of fire, we are speaking slowly because we are, we see the tension, we see the stress in the area, and we see the need for release, and we take a moment to give a rest to the stress for just a moment. However, it is like a balloon where if you work on one area, the air goes into the other area. If you squeeze one area, the pressure and air goes into the other area of the balloon. So there is need for release. And we give, there is no word for it, understanding and love to the process that it may release itself in smaller doses. Thank you.
All right. I am back, and I was going into a moment of silence to let us...
You got your moment of silence.
I got my moment of silence. Okay. Was that Terry or the Elohim?
It's a combination.
A combination, all right. But let us, first of all, I wanted to comment to CJ in England. She said, is everything okay? You sounded so sad today. And I really don't feel sad, but I did listen to that Tears from Heaven. And it triggered me. And I think it's okay to be sad. It's okay. There's a lot of things wrong with our planet. And to tap into our grief for ourselves, for the people we care about, is a way of releasing it. And I think that grief is part of life sometimes.
It's an appropriate emotion.
Yeah. And you don't have to feel sorry for each other when we go through grief. Grief is a healing release. And we all have grief in us somewhere. And so... when we talk about these things, like on this call today, and we bring up the grief, it's okay. It's better to bring it up and deal with it than bury it and just put a smile on. I mean, we could tell jokes. We could do whatever we want, and we do. And we have all this joy. But for whatever reason, you know, I was thinking about what happened in France. And even if it's a false flag, a lot of people died. A lot of people are upset. And we have to flow around that. So let's just become the team that we are. The Love Light team. Let us put our hands out, connect with the energies of each other. Let us connect with the energies of the higher realms. Let us connect with the earth. Have the experience of being a little physical body wherever you are on the planet and connected to the one infinite creator. And maybe you chose to have this incarnation because if no one chose that, and no one chose to hold the space of the higher realms in this realm would be down the tubes. And so you chose it. You chose it. And often when we make those choices, we don't know how tough it can be down here. But it is tough. For many of us, it's tough. Not for all of us, but many of us, it's tough. And this is an opportunity to manifest that choice you made pre-incarnation to come to planet Earth to serve. We can feel our energy connecting us all. We can feel our love. We can feel our blessings. And we surround the earth with our love light. We're connected to source energy. And we let that energy flow through us. And we create intentions right now to move that energy where we think it's needed for the highest good of all concerned. So let's surround the souls of all those people that died in France and ask for support and help from the higher realms in their transitioning. Let's send this light to the country of France for the relief of the grief and the fear that people have as a result of this experience. Let's surround our entire planet. Let's expand our energies around planet Earth. And ask for the release of grief and sorrow and suffering into this field of energy. Let's ask for the balancing of Earth, the grid of the Earth, and the tectonic plates, so that any earthquakes can be released gradually and away from population centers. Let's ask for rain in those areas where there's drought. Let's ask for those inventions of free energy, inventions, technological advances that can relieve the suffering of people on our planet, to be brought into awareness and manifestation. All those groups working on ecology, working on lifting the vibration of planet Earth, let's send this energy to them for the highest good. Let's focus a moment on the Ring of Fire, the land masses around the Pacific Ocean, and we see our laser love light energy moving up the coast of South America, the West Coast, through Chile, Argentina, and all countries in between, into Central America, Panama, Nicaragua, Guatemala, and all countries in between, into Mexico, up the west coast of Mexico, up Baja California, up the west coast of California, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Oregon, Washington. We cover not only earthquakes, but any volcanic activity up through Washington, Vancouver, and the west coast of Canada, the south coast of Alaska, the east coast of Russia, the east coast of China, Japan. Let's take a moment and hold the space in Japan for the transmutation of radioactivity. Korea, North and South, Vietnam, North and South, Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, New Zealand, Australia, and all the islands in the Pacific, including Hawaii. Let's just zoom out and look at the whole map of the Pacific Ocean and all those areas and send a huge blast of this energy, reiterating everything we just covered. We ask for the energy to transmute all negative frequencies on our planet coming from any source, whether it's our computer screens or HARP, to transmute the negative impact of chemtrails, to transmute the programming that's constantly coming through us through the media, and ask for awareness amongst the populations of our planet. We send this light to all the capitals of the world where decisions are being made, and ask for the quality of compassion. We ask that the plans and plots of the negatives that are designed to obstruct the free will of the many be counteracted. We send this light to all those groups, all those spiritual groups, all the wanderers, all the star seeds on our planet, to hold this energy, to connect with it, however they experience it, that they feel empowered and encouraged. And we send this energy to ourselves. We take it in to as much as we can hold it, and that we can act as much as we're able to hold this space in our lives for the people around us, for our neighborhoods, for our communities, for our churches, for each other.